Hi, this is Jacob, and
welcome to the first episode of Chai Chats. I'm Shan.
I'm Misato.
I'm Honoka.
Yeah, and today we're going to be talking about the most recent controversy that's been circulating around TikTok, Instagram, whatever have you. And it's this idea of Baba and Dragon's Den. So a quick TLDR. Dragon's Den is basically the Canadian version of the American Shark Tank. The whole premise is that entrepreneurs come in, pitch their business ideas, and hope to get investments from already established business figures. And yeah, so basically the whole ordeal was this Quebec-based company called Baba, created by two very white entrepreneurs, Sebastian Fisette and Jessica Frenet. Trust me, their races have to do a lot with this. So basically their whole business had to do with taking bubble tea, which is a cultural Taiwanese drink, and basically making it a better, more healthier version. You know what I mean?
That trendy sugary drink you are queued up for and you are never quite sure about its content.
Those days are over with boba.
So this whole ordeal kind of centered around Simu Liu, who was the guest speaker, like, right?
Yeah.
He was the guest there, and he basically raised concerns about like the lack of respect or homage paid towards the Taiwanese the Taiwanese people.
There's an issue of taking something that's very distinctly Asian in its identity and quote unquote making it better, which I have an issue with.
And the whole reason why we were drawn to this ordeal was the very fact that it was centered around this very Asian staple, which I'm assuming we all grew up with, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I grew up in Vancouver, and I've had bubble tea from places like Chat Time, Coco, and Sing Futang. And most recently, it's blown up into this trendy mainstream drink. And we were really interested about how this like staple that we all grew up with raised this conversation about the lines between cultural appropriation and appreciation.
Yeah.
So the first point that I want to bring up is how cultural appropriation of Asian cultures isn't like relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
It's been happening a lot. There's a lot of cases in the past. One case study in particular was when a white-owned Vietnamese chain restaurant named Pho trademarked their name. First off, being like named Pho is kind of like weird to begin with, but then after trademarking their name, they were basically allowed to like sue smaller Vietnamese-owned restaurants as long as they had the word Pho in their name, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because they're like taking like this big symbolism of Viet culture, because as you know, like pho is like a national dish.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking this big symbolism, like this symbol, and just claiming it as their own and just benefiting off of it.
Mm-hmm.
The owner in an interview later on quote said that they only trademarked quote unquote the restaurant name and not the dish.
Mm-hmm.
So like this sort of ignorance is like what separates like appreciating foreign culture.
Yeah.
Like,
that's wild. Because like to trademark the word pho is like to trademark the word burger or pizza.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if I was here and I was gonna trademark the word burger, I could like in my rights sue Burger King. Like that, you know what I mean? So like it's kind of insane to me how people can weaponize the law to take things that belong to certain cultures and to like claim it as their own.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Yeah. And like there's like another case that's like more like similar to the Dragon's Den controversy, where a white-owned Chinese restaurant named Lucky Lee's based their entire advertisement off of a healthier alternative to Chinese food. So like they said that in their description, they said that their food would help avoid the bloaty and icky feeling that you get after you eat Chinese food. Which is crazy because like it introduces like this white savior like concept into like cultural cuisine, which relates like the Dragon's Den, where these people are basically taking like Taiwanese boba tea and saying like, oh, we don't know what's in it, but we're gonna make it better, we're gonna make it healthier so that it appeals to people more.
Yeah, that's crazy. Cause like, especially in the diaspora in places like Canada and America, like it's insane to me how white people can benefit from the cultures of POCs in aspects like food, but then are so quick to judge it and claim, oh, because we don't know where the ingredients are from, it's from over there, not from here, we can't trust it. Like, perpetuating that rhetoric is so insane to me, because it just further instills this idea of us versus them. Okay, moving on. A point I wanted to bring up was this idea that POCs view their success in proximity to their whiteness. And I really wanted to connect this to Manjeet, who, if you didn't know, is one of the dragons on Dragon's Den, who is an Indian-Canadian business owner. So a quick TLDR, Manji was the only dragon to have agreed to invest the $1 million Baba requested.
Bruh.
But immediately right after the controversy, she pulled back out and made a quick apology on Instagram. So based off watching it, I don't know if you guys seen it, but it's so blatantly obvious that Manji is reading from a script. Like, you can tell that's not sincere at all. Like, it's not coming from the heart. Her eyes are like are going from left to right, like she's reading a ransom note from a kidnapper rather than an apology. Like, there was zero sincerity in her apology, and she didn't even address the whole reason why the Asian community was so upset. Manjeet says, and I quote, "I believe wholeheartedly our cultures are meant to be shared.
I believe wholeheartedly our cultures are meant to be shared, including food, drink, clothing, dance, languages, and weddings.
And yes, of course we should be sharing our cultures because that's the beauty of diversity. But the issue then is when we confuse appreciation with appropriation. Like, are we taking inspiration from a culture or are we stealing it? And this, like, from watching her attempts to reconcile with her mistakes, it kind of made me realize the phenomenon that happens within a lot of Asian groups in the diaspora. Mm-hmm. POCs like Manji tend to flourish in a white settler society due to their proximity and whiteness. Mm-hmm. And this kind of connects to Shasta Patel's article, The Tale of Two Indians, mm-hmm. and her exploration of horizontal reading. So if you didn't know what horizontal reading is, it's basically the idea that POCs in the diaspora basically place their bodies on this horizontal spectrum. It's this idea that the more white you are in Canada, the more likely you are to succeed. And that's why, like, POCs like Manjeet are so quick to relinquish their Asian side mm-hmm. in order to, like, assimilate to the white side, mm-hmm. because ultimately doing so will garner success, if that makes sense. And that's why she was so dismissive of Simu. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to know your guys' opinions on, like, this whole idea of white proximity.
Yeah, my opinion is that although POCs are use their proximity to whiteness as a form of survival in the diaspora, mm-hmm. doing so defeats a part of themselves by abandoning their heritage, culture, and ethnic background. Mm. The reality is that POCs assimilate to the white norm in order to be successful in places like Canada, America, etc. Mm. Yeah, however, I believe POCs aren't the ones to blame, it's society, I guess. Mm. Because if the West benefits from claims from multiculturalism, they should build a society where POCs are accepted and not forced to conform.
Yeah, like, going off of that, of course we shouldn't blame Asians or POCs for their wanting to assimilate, because mm-hmm. it's obviously a survival tactic.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm personally a second generation immigrant, my mother and father immigrated here from the Philippines, and growing up they made it a really big thing to speak English rather than Tagalog at home, or mm-hmm. or pack Lunchables rather than adobo to school. Like, ooh. They made it a big effort to make us more white in order mm-hmm. to fit in. But I think although we can't blame them for their actions, we can't dismiss it either. We have to be critical about it, because as the next generation of Asian Canadians come along, this can't be an idea we continue to perpetuate. Mm-hmm. Like, this yeah. idea that you have to be more white in order to belong here mm-hmm. in Canada. Like, we can't continue to keep doing that. Yeah. Today's episode of Chai Chats is sponsored by ACAM 250. I don't know about you, but I love a good class. Fun teacher, cool content, you name it. And it's like, in the hustle and bustle of student life, you practically need a fun class where you can slow down, take a breath, but most importantly, learn new things about the world around you that'll make you think more critically. ACAM, or Asian Canadian and Migration Studies 250, is all about pop culture. I mean, come on, TikTok, memes, movies, you name it. Learn more about Asian history, life, and so much more with ACAM 250. Go to UBC, class code ACAM 250 for more information. And tell them Chai Chat sent you. All right, thank you ACAM 250, and now back to the convo.
The next point I want to talk about weaponized globalization versus cultural preservation. While globalization has enabled the sharing of culture, it also has a negative side, the homogenization, disappearance, and the commercialization of culture. Boba is originally from and unique to Taiwan, but globalization has shifted it from Taiwanese to Western staple. Mm-hmm. Boba has become so ubiquitous that globalization has made people forget the fact that it was once a Taiwanese food. Globalization has become a weapon to steal culture and use it for profit. What do you think, you guys?
You're talking about globalization, mm-hmm. and in the context of cuisine, the first thing that pops up in my mind is matcha.
yeah.
like over the past like few years, it's like blown up within like Western culture, and like matcha as like, which was like originated as like a prominent aspect of like Japanese tea culture, has been like adapted into like North America's like cafe culture, and you see it like pop up a lot more in like big brands like Starbucks. And the difference is that like here they're able to adapt it like so easily into their like businesses and products without like any controversy, because they were like, they weren't like attacking like its country of origin, and they're like treating it with more respect.
Yeah. And since you mentioned Starbucks, it kind of just reminded me about this past summer. Like this past summer, Starbucks made their quote unquote version of bubble tea. And if you don't know, like their version of bubble tea is this fluorescent blue drink with like the hottest of pink pearls. Like it looks artificial. Okay, I'm gonna say that right now. But the thing is, they didn't get as much backlash relative to Baba, right? They both didn't pay respects to the Taiwanese origin in which the drink came from. So why is it that one was met with so much more backlash than the other? And I think the reason for that is because although Starbucks didn't really recognize the Taiwanese culture behind it, they also didn't claim to make it better, which is a really sad thing, if that makes sense, because like it's literally the bare minimum, and like our bars have been set so low that, yeah.
The next theme is that where is reparation due? I want to kind of refer to the study of typical descriptions of Asian in film and television as inability to speak English with an accent, smart and nerdy, tiger moms, and obedient servants. Those are examples of white viewing Asian people through typical lenses, ignoring their individual stories and experiences. And now, how is this related to today's topic? The theme is where reparation is due again. For the Baba problem, the reasonable solution would be white people apologizing for not respecting Asian culture properly. However, it is not enough at all. In apologizing only to the broader Asian community, they neglect the responsibilities they hold towards the distinct Asian group they offended. In this case, it's Taiwanese. In only apologizing to the broader Asian demographic, it makes the apology superficial and less meaningful. This goes into the idea again that all Asian groups such as Koreans, Japanese, Filipinos, Indians, etc. are all just one homogeneous group, when that is not the case at all.
For example, like whenever I say I'm from Japan, like someone like say something like, oh, tell me about this anime, or I think to like Hong Kong, Disneyland, wait, it's not Japan, sorry, or something like that. They're innocent, but there has been time that happened. Going back to the original topic, while Asian deserve an apology, the creators must direct an apology towards a specific group they offended, which is Taiwanese people in this case. That means that they cannot just stop with apologizing. They should change their point of view, generalizing Asians in the first place.
I find it interesting how, like, in Canada, we rejoice over this idea that our society is built on multiculturalism, where we're not like our American counterparts, who is just this big melting pot, where everyone is seen as the same, where race and culture don't matter. But in Canada, we all love every culture equally, when that really isn't the case. You know what I mean? Like, especially here, when the creators of Baba apologize to the larger Asian demographic, beautiful, you should be apologizing to the Asian demographic. But in that apology, you also have to be able to recognize the specific culture in which you drew bubble tea from, being Taiwan, right? I just find it interesting how, especially in the diaspora, Asians are just one. You know what I mean? There's no individuality, there's no distinction. Like, I'm Filipino and you're Japanese. We're not the same Asian, but many times people think we are, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? And then that's wild to me.
I was just saying this like idea of like generalization kind of relates back to like the land acknowledgements we talked about during the semester. How like you're just like apologizing to like the general like First Nations people. You're not like acknowledging like the history, the different groups of people, like their different cultures. All you're doing is saying like sorry about like the past. And like we had an entire discussion about like how invalid it was and how like we were neglecting like history. And that kind of relates into this, like how by like generalizing like Asians together, you're kind of, you're like taken away from the significance. All right, well, this has been Chai Chats. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.